like to take this opportunity now to introduce to you Father John Hardin. He can perhaps tell you more about himself if he so desires, but I remember coming to know Father through his book, The Catholic Catechism. As a newly ordained priest, I was given the assignment to teach religion to our juniors and seniors, and we used his book, and it was a wonderful compendium of theology, which I had just finished studying, and it was very helpful as a guide. And I also met Father, I think, the first time in person. I don't know if he remembers it, but it was at the Marian Congress during the Marian year, in which he spoke. And also he was given a couple of years later, the Kolbe Award in Chicago, and I met him there. And so we're very happy to have such a distinguished retreat master, and I ask all of us here that we should be praying for Father that he might fulfill his mission among us to enlighten us about our Lord Jesus Christ, religious life and priesthood, and that we might respond properly to all of these graces. And so to now give it over to Father John Hart.
Basically, this means setting the ground first for the mind, providing the basis in faith of what we believe as the foundation of our spiritual life. Their spiritual life begins in the mind. Christianity, the religious life, religious institutes, have only as much meaning as our faith tells us. God has become man to teach us, enlighten our minds. That's the principle, the foundation. You might be called the norm. Again, based on faith, not only what we are to believe, but believing what we are to do. Christianity is not a speculative religion. There are in our Christian faith two truths which our minds and wills are to be based on, our minds to believe and our wills to choose. And then there are two fundamental conclusions that follow on these truths, and this will be the scope of our present meditation. My plan is to first identify these two basic truths and the two corresponding conclusions, and then go back and further elaborate and explain as the bedrock, not only for a retreat, but for our lives. What then are the two basic truths? They are first that God created and sustains us for a purpose. God is the all-wise and almighty, what shall we call him? Genius of finality. What is the purpose that God had and we have to add and has for making us and keeping us in existence? The purpose is, first in this life, that we might know, love, and serve him, and thereby, what an important word that is, and thereby reach the destiny for which we were made. What is that destiny? That destiny is also the origin of our being. To know, love, and serve God in this life, that we might possess him in the life to come. We are living, I believe, in the most blinded society in human history. Blinded by so much that obscures to the point of not being able to see why we are in this world. I come from Detroit. I seldom read the daily papers, but I cannot help but catch the headlines. Recently, headline, the whole front page, describing one of the successful suicides. We all know his name now, Dr. Kevorkian, had achieved. We have a purpose in life, and only in the measure as we understand that purpose are we really living, and not merely, dare I say, vegetating. That purpose is, we might know, love, and serve God here on earth, and reach a heavenly eternity. That's the first truth. If God had a purpose and has for our existence, he surely has a purpose for everything else that in any way enters or touches our lives. What is that purpose? And we better, comma, we better, another comma, we better be sure we realize that's one of the creatures, by the way. God created and provides us with the means for reaching our eternal destiny, so that everything, everyone, every who, every which, every when, everywhere, in a word, everything, I repeat, everything in our lives is intended by God to be a means to enable us to reach our eternal destiny. In other words, everything has a purpose, and that purpose is to enable us to reach heaven. We sometimes forget that the noun providence has a verb from which, in fact, it is derived. The verb is provide. Everything then in our lives is part of divine providence, God providing us with the means we need to reach the destiny for which we were made. If those are the two basic truths, what are the two fundamental conclusions? The first conclusion has to do with the mind. Clearly, not everything in our lives is to be a means enabling us to reach our destiny in the same way. Everything is intended by God to enable us to reach heaven. Everything that touches or enters our lives in any way is meant by God to enable us to reach the heaven for which God made us, but not everything in the same way. And consequently, we've got to, pardon me, use our heads. We've got to be prudent, have good judgment. In other words, we've got to be discerning. We've got to discriminate. And that, my dear brothers in Christ, is why people make retreats. Because from the last retreat we've made, and I shouldn't include myself, we've not been all that discriminating. And asking ourselves, how has this person, that situation, these desires, those thoughts, how careful and thoughtful and prudent have I been in making sure that I know that my mind distinguishes between creature A and creature B? And how does creature A help me? And how does creature B hinder me in my pursuit of my eternal destiny? By the way, we are still on the introduction of this meditation, just for the record. Besides being discriminating, we must be calm. And this takes effort. We must become internally free to choose among the creatures that God puts into our lives. Choose among them according to God's will. If the first conclusion is that we've got to be prudent, discerning, the second conclusion is we've got to be, what an easy word to use, how hard to put it into practice. We must become detached. In other words, we must become, again in Ignatian vocabulary, indifferent. Because, my dear friends, we are not naturally, spontaneously prone to choose what God wants us to choose. Our needs do not always, what a safe adverb, our needs do not always correspond to our wants. In other words, we've got to internally liberate ourselves, because in greater or less measure, and I begin with the speaker, we're all in greater or less measure enslaved by our own uncontrolled desires and fears. Well, in order to become internally free, to choose according to God's will, we cannot, and the verb is we cannot do it by ourselves. Of God. We need help for the mind to know and strength in the will to choose. To know according to the mind of God and to choose according to the will of God. And that cannot, and the verb is that cannot be done by our own natural capacity of knowledge and choice. We need grace. So what is grace? In the context in which we are speaking, grace is that which we need to do what God wants us to do. In other words, in the years in teaching the theology of grace, one of my favorite definitions, grace is that power from God that we need to do the humanly impossible. to be even a faithful follower of Christ is to live a humanly impossible life. And to be a religious and a priest is to be, if I can coin a superlative, is to be most impossible. We need help, otherwise known as grace. And either, and we're just beginning the retreat, but we better have our feet on the ground. Either we are men of prayer, and I mean prayer, or we'll not make it. We need grace. We cannot make it by ourselves. Grace to know and grace to choose. And here we need grace to become internally free, because we are all, this is our faith, we are all naturally subject to the wanton desires of our fallen human nature. That was my introduction. And now, my notes tell me to explain the introduction. In this meditation, we shall simply go back of what we've said, be a little more specific, and apply our reflections not to somebody else. I've lived in the society of Jesus. I can't believe it. There must be something wrong with the calendar. I entered in 1936. So, if the Lord preserves me till September the 1st of this year, wonderful provision gives us a chance to do some reflective thinking between the sinners speaking. Be sure, I know religious life. Be sure that you apply the reflections that not I, but our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament gives you to yourselves. First then, the two basic truths. Truth number one. We have come from God, and we are destined to return to God. Nine months, add a day or two, or subtract a day or more. Before we were born, we were nothing. Mathematically, metaphysically, nothing. And except for the almighty love of God, you'd be the empty spaces in chapel. And I'd be an empty chair. God made us that we might know Him, love Him, and knowing and loving Him, serve Him in this life and thereby reach our destiny. God then is both our creator and our goal. We came from him, and we are destined to go back to the God from whom we came. And this needs to be underlined. I've been in the faculty of 6 Protestant seminaries, 7 years. I'm the faculty of the Lutheran School of Theology. We are not Protestants. We are Catholics. We believe in a free will. We don't believe in absolute predestination. We believe God wants everyone to be saved. But we believe that God's grace is to be cooperated with. And we've got the free will. We came from God through no choice of our own. We weren't around to make a choice. But we are destined to go to God. But that destiny, unlike our origin, depends on our own free will. First truth. We have a purpose in life. And one over-educated nation after another, including our own beloved United States, the most academically sophisticated country in human history. Our annual average is 5 million Americans on college campuses every year. Americans are very educated. But how blind, how blind educated people can be to knowing the most important truth. The mind is to ascend to and embrace that we are in this world to reach a heavenly eternity. Let me begin by telling you, you won't have all that many conferences. I would like to, by the way, according to your own preferences and choice, be available for private conferences for as long and as often as I can be of service. The most dangerous people in the world are the educated intellectuals. I know. And the hardest thing for an educated intellectual to practice, I know, is humility. The humility of mind in submitting our intellects to the mind of God and accepting on his word that we have only one purpose in this life, and then to repeat.
This is the end of side one. Please turn the cassette over for side two.